Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Greg Amsinger, the lead anchor for MLB Network. He is a native of St. Louis and a product of the Lindenwood University. And he joins us now, as he does every Friday Eve here on 101 ESPN. Greg, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm still giggling about last night's Mets game. I mean, everyone thinks they can do this. They can talk into a microphone and communicate clearly with their audience. Well, crew chief Chad Fairchild, after a very long delay, as they're looking at the replay, a moment where we're going to find out if the Mets lose the game or will they tie the game. And then he talks into his microphone and says there were two calls being reviewed. The first blocking call is upheld. Everyone starts cheering, thinking that means he blocked home plate, which means we're safe. We scored the run. The game is tied. And then as they're cheering, he goes, there was no blocking. The call is upheld. He is out. The game is over. And to watch Mets fans go from cheering to giving him the bird is the most hilarious thing I've seen. It was such a Mets way to lose. It was incredible watch. Incredible television.
And, Greg, there is no greater fan base to watch the despair of than Mets fans. I'll never forget the 2006 NLCS. That their facial expressions are the best in baseball.
Oh, my gosh, Randy. Oh, with that, you just reminded me. I have to send you a picture. I went to dinner two nights ago with Adam Wainwright. We had a great show. We were off earlier. So we go with our executive producer, Mark Caiafa. We sit at this wonderful steakhouse in Hoboken, New Jersey. And he picked that place because there are a bunch of TVs. He's a huge Knicks fan. And he goes, Adam, you have no idea how much suffering you brought me in my life. I was sitting behind home plate in 2006 when Carlos Beltran got locked up with that incredible curveball you threw. So at least, and at this moment, the Knicks are beating, you know, the Sixers handily. He goes, at least I'll be able to enjoy a great moment in my fandom with someone who is the source of so much despair for me as a New York sports fan. And Adam Wainwright goes, hold on there, fella. This game's not over yet. This game's over. They're up six with 30 seconds to go. And I watch my boss stand away from the table as if Adam Wainwright has got like some sort of like voodoo magic that's touching him. He walks away from the table and the Sixers win. And Adam Wainwright's looking at me and he goes, is he going to be okay? I don't know. I'll send you the picture before Adam Wainwright's voodoo magic worked again on my poor boss, Mark Caiafa.
That's amazing.
That is awful, but also funny at the same time, Craig. Waino had to have done something there. He predicted something was going to happen. Now, I want to take it over to the Cardinals. A lot of things going on. Obviously, we've talked to you a lot about the offense, but now there's some concerns with the starting rotation with Steven Matz. He will undergo an MRI today on his lower back. He apparently has been dealing with back issues here recently, which affected his outing the other day.
How long do you think he's had those?
I was waiting for this. I knew he was going to interrupt me. Greg, go ahead and say it.
I forget he does that.
Go ahead, Greg. Can you set it? I set you up. Knock him down.
No, Randy. I've been your puppet for way too many years.
About a week back.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right, Greg, now that we've gotten that out of the way, if this does knock him out for a little bit, who is the Cardinals' answer to that missing spot in the starting rotation?
I want to see Zach Thompson, but he really did not instill confidence when he was in the big leagues before they sent him down. I've been thinking about this even before you asked me this, and I got to be honest with you. Doesn't Matthew Liberatore look like he's ready to jump back in. Hasn't he been impressive? And do we think he's a permanent fixture in the bullpen? I would love to see him get one more chance at it. The more I go back and forth, because I've said for years, I think he could be an Andrew Miller type reliever for the Cardinals, a true weapon with terrific stuff as a lefty in the bullpen. The more I go back and forth on that, this one name keeps ringing in the back of my mind, Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks, where in St. Louis, we determined this is a reliever. Even though he's got the best stuff in the organization, he's a reliever. Even though he wants to start, we're just going to keep his stuff in one inning increments. Because of that, because of Jordan Hicks, I would like to see Matthew Liberatore get a chance again to be a starting pitcher. He's built for it. He's a huge physical specimen. His stuff is ridiculous. He's got multiple offerings. He's not a two-pitch guy, although they've harnessed his stuff. You're seeing the benefit of that. But maybe that now that he's had some success as a reliever, the time is now. And I know he hasn't been built up for it, but the name Jordan Hicks is haunting me right now. And I don't want Matthew Liberatore to be the next Jordan Hicks.
Greg, what are the guys at MLB Network saying about the lack of offense with the Cardinals, or a reason as to why this has happened?
It is crazy, Dan. It is wild. I'll just start with Nolan Arenado. It looks like he has moments where he cuts his swing off, and I'm sure fans in St. Louis have seen this, almost as if he's just not letting the bat go. And he's getting on base. His average on base is solid. But this is a team with no slug. No one saw this happening. I mean, no one saw this coming. Goldie has shown us glimpses in the last couple of days. He pulled a baseball for a double. It looked really good off the bat. That's when I think he's starting to get right. You know, everyone thinks that when he's hitting the ball the other way, to me, it's always been his like patented swing path. But when he's getting aggressive, he's getting that bat head out, and he's pulling the baseball, I think that's a better sign for Paul Goldschmidt. But this team needs a reshuffling. And I know it sounds like a broken record, but I think Brendan Donovan's a very good player. I really do. I would like to see someone else leading off the game. I would put him in the 2-3-4 hole. I want someone else leading off the game. Maybe it's Mason Winn. I don't know. But I would love to see someone get a chance, reshuffle this lineup, do something different, inject more speed at the top of the lineup. The Cardinals aren't manufacturing runs. To me, you can't force a breaking ball if no one's getting a pitcher out of their rhythm. You can't force a hanging pitch, which is a mistake, which no one talks about. I keep thinking Jack Clark. Jack Clark's like, man, I got so many hanging breaking balls because pitchers were distracted in 1987 because Vince, Ozzie, and Willie and Tommy Herr were on base in front of me trying to steal bags, and they were distracted. That leads to missed location. The Cardinals are not getting pitchers out of the rhythm. They have to start doing that. Start with getting guys on base that can run, manufacture runs first, and then maybe there'll be some mistake pitches over the middle that our guys can slug, because something drastically has to change. It is odd to have a team that isn't hanging offensively anywhere near the Oakland Athletics. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah. Greg Amsinger with us on 101 ESPN. Greg, I understand that we are only a month into the season, but here we are a month in, and four of the top seven records in the American League belong to teams from the Central Division, including Cleveland with the best record in the league, Kansas City 19-13, Detroit 18-13, Minnesota 17-13. What is going on with those teams?
Yeah, it's weird. This winning streak for the Minnesota Twins, really impressive. I can't see it lasting, although Carlos Santana apparently has injected a ton of leadership, a ton of, you know, winning mentality that they love. He is like the centerpiece of this club right now from everything I'm hearing. I don't see them with the depth to do it. Now, the Guardians are tricky. They've got the best bullpen in baseball. Class A in the back end with all these other guys. The former closer of the Royals, Barlow's back there. He's a sixth inning guy. This team is loaded in the back end. Nasty stuff. So they are shortening the game even without Shane Bieber in the rotation. Stephen Kwan is their MVP. I mean, this leadoff guy is hitting over 360, getting on base. He's got like four home runs already. He's playing great. I still don't think. I mean, as great as Jose Ramirez is, but this team's going to pull it off because the starting pitching has just been depleted so much. It's just been depleted so much. I like the Kansas City Royals. I really do. I liked it when I was in camp, meeting and talking to all their players. Seth Lugo's pitching like a Cy Young winner. That's how good he's been right now. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be an MVP finalist. Sal Perez might be the MVP in the American League right now if we were voting. He's that good, hasn't struck out in 2.5 weeks. This is a good team. I like them. They've got a good injection of young, fast players. And then older slug. The Royals are good. I'm with you. The Central's fascinating. As impressive as they are, how disappointing is the NL West? This was supposed to be the super division in the National League with the Dodgers. The Giants added Blake Snell, and they're going all in, and their rotation is going to be good. And the Padres, oh, man, we know the Diamondbacks are good. They went to the World Series. They only got one team over 500 in that entire division. So there are some surprises all over the standings.
How about my man Tommy Pham and what he's doing for the White Sox? And the Cardinals will face the White Sox this weekend.
You know what's funny? We had a conversation as we're watching games in the studio with Adam Wainwright. And I go, Adam, I don't know what it is, but Tommy Pham can change the vibe of a team immediately. And think about this. This club had 3 wins. They were like 3-23, the White Sox. They signed Tommy Pham. His first 3 games over the weekend, they sweep the Tampa Bay Rays. So the White Sox were 3-23 without Tommy Pham, and then 3-0 with Tommy Pham. So because the analytics are so advanced and make much more sense than we do, what do you think the White Sox did on Monday because a righty was starting on the game? They didn't play Tommy Pham. That's how baseball has morphed into this world of nonsensical decision-making. So then they lost that game. But then Tommy Pham batting second for this team. It's a home run last night. He's playing great. And Adam Wainwright's like, if you have a bad clubhouse, Tommy Pham will be the perfect guy to go get. And I go, tell me why, Adam. And he tells this amazing story off camera of Tommy Pham's called up to the big leagues. He's been in the big leagues for, 3 months. Cardinals are losing a bad stretch. And Tommy Pham stands on a stool and starts airing everybody out. This is a rookie Tommy Pham in a Cardinal clubhouse pointing and just saying, you don't show up to the yard in time. You're not giving 110%. And he's going around the room, and Adam looks, he looked at Yadier Molina, and they're the 2 leaders in the clubhouse. And they're just like, should we cut him off? And they're like, nah, we're going to let this go. He's not wrong. So they let him air everybody out. And then Wainwright walks up to him, puts his arm around him, and he goes, hey, Tommy, that was great. Let's give it another year before you do that again.
That sounds exactly like Tommy Pham. I wanted to ask you about, obviously, huge news with Mike Trout needing knee surgery, and he will be out indefinitely. What does the future look like for Mike Trout and the Angels?
You know, it's so sad, Rick, because I felt like we got the old Mike Trout back. He had stolen 7 bases. His speed was great. As we were watching him, Tom Verducci did a great breakdown on Mike Trout last week. And his body is so big. He does look like Brian Urlacher in his peak with the Bears. Like, he looks like a middle linebacker in the NFL. That I don't know if somebody at the age of 32 can sustain doing this. Can Bobby Witt Jr. sustain stealing 50 bases? By the way, his body looks. Yeah, I think so. Can Ellie De La Cruz sustain stealing 100 bases based on how his lean body looks? Yeah. Mike Trout had gotten so muscular and so big playing like that. I don't know. And then we see what ends up happening. I think he's never playing center field again. He was never a Gold Glover to begin with. I don't think he plays left field ever again. I think he's a full-time DH. And you're not going to see him steal bases anymore. And that breaks my heart. Is when he broke into the big leagues, his blend of power and speed was just so unique. But those days are over. And from a hitting perspective, even before he was hurt, Tom Verducci walked us through how his swing patterns are completely different than he's ever had in his entire career. His swing and miss has gone up. His chase rate has gone skyrocket through the roof. When he went out, he's got 10 home runs, but he was hitting barely over 200. So the days of him hitting over 300, Tom thinks, are over. He thinks he's a full-time slugger. He's going to be a guy that's 240 to 250 with 40 to 60 home runs. That's the kind of hitter Mike Trout is morphing into. And now with this knee injury, I think that's all he's going to be. And that is so sad, because after this year, the Angels are on the hook for 6 more years of Mike Trout. Now, you might have a guy that hits 40 to 60 home runs. That's quality. But the goal will be to keep him on the field. And unfortunately, he's becoming that guy who just can't stay on the field. And we know too many of those great players in baseball history.
Greg, a beautiful day in New Jersey coming up. What are you going to do?
You know how you know you're addicted to golf?
How?
When you Google the weather of your friends' towns to see if they're going to play golf, mm-hmm. and that is you, Randy Carricker. You are a true golf junkie, which I really appreciate that. Like you know the weather in my town before I know it when I wake up in the morning.
Hey, I got to tell you something, by the way. I went, Michelle Smallman's doing the show from here this week, her morning show. And so I went in and told her this morning, I said, hey, this is the 4-year anniversary of the debut of Carricker and Smallman. I started waking you up 4 years ago. How are you doing? You hanging in there with waking up early every Thursday morning?
You know, it's good for me. I will say this. My wife loves Thursday mornings. She loves how productive I am because I'm actually awake. I don't go back to bed after I do this interview. So I'm like all the juices are flowing. And this is the day that we take care of all of our errands. So we're going to be curtain shopping today, Randy. Thank you for always reminding me that it's a beautiful day for golf. But on Thursdays, because you get my lazy butt out of bed early, I tend to be to-do list stuff on Thursdays because I'm already awake. She brings me a coffee. She's like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do today. I think since it's only 8:50 in the morning, why don't we go to Williams-Sonoma, and then after that, we'll go to West Elm, and I'm just like, that Randy character. Oh, look, here she is. She just said, Erica, say hello. Say hello to all of St. Louis.
Hey, St. Louis.
Hi, Erica. Oh, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for the time, and thanks for getting up.
All right, you got it. I love it. Take care, guys.
Take care. Greg Amsinger, MLB Network on 101 ESPN.